We're turning in our Bibles to the Acts of the Apostles and chapter 12. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 12. Now, about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Rise up quickly." And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, "Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals." And so he did. And he saith unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee and follow me." And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto an iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord, and they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, "Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews." And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. And she knew Peter's voice. She opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, "Thou art mad." But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, "It is his angel." But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But he, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, "Go, show these things unto James and to the brethren." And he departed and went into another place. Amen. And God will bless to our hearts this reading of his own precious and infallible word. This last couple of Sabbath mornings, our minds have been concentrating on the subject of prayer. And one of the most urgent requirements in the life of the church today is for prayer to be given its proper place. That's something that cannot be emphasized enough. The Lord Jesus himself said in Luke chapter 18 and verse 1, "Men ought always to pray and not to faint." There is something radically wrong with a church's or an individual's sense of spiritual values when prayer is not made a priority. That has got to be said. Spiritual decline in the church often leads to spiritual decay in the country. And surely I don't need to emphasize that truth. We can all see it for ourselves. This is evident wherever we look today. However, a burden for prayer in the church will undoubtedly lead to blessing and prosperity in the country. That's a truth that God's Word reveals to us. The need of the hour, then, is for prayer meetings like the one held here in Acts chapter 12. Here we have a prayer meeting that made a difference. And that's what's required. That's what made the difference in the early days of the Free Presbyterian Witness. That's what made the difference in the preaching of the Lord's servant who now has been called home into the Lord's presence. There were prayer meetings with a difference. And we do need those prayer meetings with a difference today. Note three things from this chapter, and we'll have to be brief as our time is marching on. First of all, there is here very clearly to be seen the express need for prayer. The express need for prayer. Why had these believers in Acts chapter 12 gathered for prayer? Why had they come together? Why were they praying? There was, first of all, a crisis in the church. A crisis in the church. Notice in verse 5, Peter is in prison. And that constituted a great need in the early church. It was a crisis in the church. One of their leaders, one of themselves, had been imprisoned by Herod. Look at verses 3 and 4, and you'll see what it says. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, that is, the killing of James pleased the Jews, then Herod proceeded to take Peter also, put him into prison in verse 4, and delivered him to be kept and bound by the soldiers. And so there was a crisis in the church. In fact, the authorities were cracking down on the activities of the church. The authorities were laying heavily into believers. Obviously, the Jews were not happy with the church's progress. They were not happy with the conversions that were taking place. And they were not happy with the undermining of idolatry and of false worship. And it enraged them. And they took out their wrath upon God's people. And they rounded them up. They cast them into prison. And they put some of them to death. They didn't want this new religious movement, called in the Acts of the Apostles in the early chapters, the Way. That's what it was called. It was called the Way, or this way. And you'll read that in various portions of the early chapters of the book of Acts of the Apostles. It was a threat to their livelihoods. It was a threat to their way of life, and they were opposed to the New Testament Christians. The church was under attack. There was a crisis in the church. And therefore, there was need to pray. Need to pray. Is there not a crisis today? Is not the church under attack? Attack from the world? Attack from ecumenical apostasy? Attack from unbelief? Attack from all sides? And then, is there not a weakening in the church itself? Is there not a tendency to compromise and to worldliness and to new innovations being introduced into the work of God? We're living in a day of great deception on every side. And there's a need. There's a crisis. And instead of seeing the answer to the crisis by introducing new things, by bringing in something that's not in the Bible, friend, we need to bring in the prayer meeting again. That's the need. That's the need. And God forbid that we should introduce anything other than the old-fashioned prayer meeting to answer the crisis in the church today. Nothing else is the answer. Doesn't matter if we heap everything the world can offer us. It'll not help. And it'll do no good. Christ is the answer. It's His face we need to seek. It's the throne of grace we need to come to. And so there is an express need because there's a crisis that was in the church of the New Testament, and there's a crisis today. And the answer, the disciples and the believers of that day, was prayer. And the answer is still the same. Nothing changes. And God's word is still the same. And there was not only a crisis in the church, but there's crime in the community. Crime in the community. And is not crime rife in our community today? All sorts of crime. Going back to the Acts of the Apostles, this crime included the murdering of Stephen in chapter 7. Murdering a good man of God. It also included the persecution of believers and the imprisonment of many of them in chapter 8. You read these chapters and you see it for yourself. And then it included the beheading of James, the execution of James, one of the disciples. Oh, what crime was being committed by the authorities and by the community? And there was great need for prayer. This violence was carried out in the name of religion. Carried out in the name of religion. And there's not so much of the violence in the world today carried out in the name of religion. We think of the Islamist conflict in the Middle East and further afield. And it's all done in the name of religion. False religion, of course. Not true religion. Much of the violence and trouble in Northern Ireland for 30 years in the name of religion. Not of God, but religion. It's the same here in the New Testament. Nothing's new under the sun. History repeats itself. And there's a crisis in church and in community or state. And there's a need for prayer. The authorities here in Acts 12 and in the early chapters of Acts were actually assisting in carrying out this brutal oppression of the Church of Christ. And are the authorities today not assisting in carrying out the brutal oppression of the church today? Through legalizing sodomy, through extending the drinking hours, and all sorts of means and manner are being introduced, encouraged by the authorities to oppress the Church of Jesus Christ, to bring down the standards, and to destroy the testimony for God. The need for prayer is great. There's an express need because of the crisis in the church and the crime in the community. What about the corruption in the country? Isn't there great corruption throughout the country? All this was done in Acts chapter 12. And the taking of Peter, the intention of taking him, was all done in the name of political expediency. You read the chapter for yourself. And it was all done in the name of peace. History is rewriting itself today, is it not? Anything that was going to strain political relationships between the Jews and the authorities of the day was to be avoided at any cost. And as a result, the church suffered. And similar things happen still. And therefore we see the heavy-handed tactics being used against Christianity. Why did Satan attack James and Peter? Why did he do it? Because James and Peter were getting in Satan's way. That's why. Why did the authorities attack the church? Because the church was getting in the way of the plans of the authorities. The authorities of the country. A move to silence the church and to stamp out its witness was put into progress. And the effort was made to silence the voice of God's people. There is an express need, is there not? Even today, for prayer, especially in our country in times like these. But my friend, you'll notice the encouraging number at prayer. Not just the express need, but the encouraging number at prayer. This really thrills my soul. And I want you to see it in verse 12. Many were gathered. Underline those words. Many were gathered. How encouraging. Things, if we go back in time to Nehemiah's day, there was a great express need for prayer then as well. But in Nehemiah's day, in chapter 1 of the book, in verse 4, things were very different. Nehemiah was alone in prayer. He prayed alone. There weren't many with him. There was nobody, in fact. But he prayed alone. Nehemiah is an example of a single believer, faithful in the place of prayer. Now, don't get discouraged when large numbers and crowds don't attend the prayer meeting. Thank God we can pray that it will happen. But here is a single believer at prayer, calling upon the name of the Lord. Lack of numbers didn't prevent him engaging in earnest prayer for his troubled nation. His praying set in motion a chain of events that eventually led to the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem and giving it back its security again. Remember Daniel? He's another lone ranger at prayer. And he prayed, setting himself several times a day to seek the Lord. And God answered his prayer. So individual believer, as you set yourself to pray, be encouraged. God answers your prayer, as well as answering the prayers of the many who were gathered here in Acts 12 and verse 12. In Matthew chapter 18, verses 18, 19 and 20, the focus turns to two or three gathered together. From Nehemiah and Daniel, individual believers, single believers at prayer. Now we come to two or three at prayer in Matthew chapter 18. Gathering together. Oh, it's encouraging when other men join you for prayer. That's what happened in Kells before the 1859 revival. Four men met in the schoolhouse. And after they had prayed for a season, for a while, a period, others began to join them. They caught the fire. They saw the need. And the four were encouraged as others came in and they prayed down the fire of God from heaven. A great revival which turned, the estimate is, 100,000 people of all age groups to the Lord. Isn't that the answer? Isn't that the need of the hour? Oh, let us see this express need for prayer and be encouraged, even where the twos and threes are gathered together, and where people living on their own, godly Christian women and men living in their own wee house, earnestly seeking the Lord, calling upon His name. God will bless them and reward them for it. Yes, there were single believers, and then there were several believers in Matthew 18. And in Acts chapter 1 and verse 15, Luke tells us of 120 approximately gathered for prayer in the upper room. Here we have scores of believers gathering with one mind, with one heart, with one motive. They're gathering for prayer to seek the Lord and to call upon His name. The Lord had initially chosen 12 disciples, but now many more converts are added. And isn't it good to see new converts going to the prayer meeting? That's what happened here. Oh, they attended the prayer meeting. So much that it swelled to over 120. And that must have been encouraging for the disciples. And they prayed. Faithful and fervent prayer was offered. And we read in the next chapter 2 of the Acts that the day of Pentecost arrived. And the Holy Ghost was poured out. And they were all filled with the Spirit of God. And on that day, in Jerusalem, the Word of God spread. Not only did it spread in Jerusalem, but men and women carried the Word back to their own countries from whence they came. Cities, towns and villages. And they told of the mighty things that God wrought in Jerusalem. And therefore the gospel spread as far as Rome and other cities in North Africa. You see, God works in mysterious ways His wonders to perform. He plants His footsteps on the storm and walks upon the wave. This is our God today. And He's able. Will you dedicate yourself to Him? Will you give yourself as never before? What better time to do it than now? Oh, there is an express need for prayer. And we see encouraging numbers in the Word of God gathering for prayer. Even the single believer, that's encouragement. Will you start praying, believer? But how encouraging in Acts chapter 1 to see scores of them gathered together in the place of prayer. And then there's the exciting nature of prayer. In Acts 12 and verse 12, in Acts 12 and in verse 5, notice it says, Peter therefore was kept in prison. Now notice the next two words, but prayer. Up until then, as you'd have read the first 4.5 verses, you would have been depressed at the recent history here in Jerusalem. And what was taking place would have depressed you to the core. But these two words change the entire scene. But prayer! You see, prayer does change things. Prayer makes a difference, but prayer marks the turning point in this whole story. It was Thomas Watson, the great Puritan, who said, "The angel fetched Peter out of prison, but it was prayer that fetched the angel out of heaven." You see that? Isn't that amazing? Watson was right. Yes, the angel came down and he led Peter by the hand out of the jail. But it was prayer in John Mark's home that fetched the angel from heaven down to the prison. Brought him down. Prayer. You see, God answers prayer. Prayer works wonders. And it's the answer to all the needs in the Church of Jesus Christ today. I hope you can see it plainly. Don't take my word for it. Take the Bible's word for it. And what followed highlights the exciting nature of real believing prayer by God's people. You'll notice there was the release of the prisoner as a result of prayer. What exciting news this was. The release of the prisoner. That's what they prayed for. Even though in some of their hearts there was unbelief. When Peter went to the door and knocked, and Rhoda told him he stands at the door, they wouldn't believe him, wouldn't believe her. You know, we all have to confess to a certain measure of unbelief in our praying. We don't believe that God can do such and such. We don't believe that God can overturn the wicked and destroy wicked nations and bring down the ungodly. We don't believe it. But you know, God can. God's in control. He's the sovereign ruler of the universe. He's God far above all. He's sovereign and he's providential in all his dealings. This release of the prisoner took place at Passover time, the time of the year when the Jews celebrated their coming out of Egypt. Peter therefore experienced a new kind of exodus in answer to prayer. And we too can experience a new kind of exodus in our own Christian lives. We become bound and tethered and fettered and shut in, as it were. And we do need a new exodus from the bondage of the past. And here, the exciting answer to prayer included the release of the prisoner. Oh, may it be we'll see the release of many prisoners from the prison house of sin, and a great revival in the days which lie ahead. And then not only that, but there was the removal of the persecutor. You look at the chapter and read verses 20 to 23. Look about Herod. It says, "And Herod was highly displeased when he learned what happened to Peter. And with them of Tyre and Sidon, but they came with one accord to him, having made Bastius, the king's chamberlain, their friend, desiring peace, because their country was nourished by the king's country." Now verse 21, "And upon a set day, Herod arrayed in royal apparel." He's at the height of his splendor now. He's a proud man. "He sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them." Great speech. Oh, what oratory he used. Look at verse 22. "And the people gave a shout, saying, It is the voice of a God and not of man." Herod was worshipped as a god. He was exalted in the eyes of the people. Look at verse 23. "And immediately The angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not glory to God, and he was eaten of worms, and gave up the ghost. The removal of the persecutor. They have their glory days. They have their days when they can do and say what they like, and it would seem that there's no one to deal with them. But God's in heaven. God's in heaven. And God brought Herod down and removed him from the scene. And then last of all, with this we hurry, notice the record of progress in the church. In spite of the persecution, in spite of the deaths, in spite of imprisonments, there is indeed a record of progress, verse 24. But while Herod was killed and worms ate his flesh, verse 24, but the word of God grew and multiplied. That's the prosperity of the church. In answer to the prayers of God's people, God came down and moved mightily in their midst. Oh, there's a great need today for prayer. There is encouragement for prayer. And there is exciting nature in prayer. Oh, let us become involved. Let us get to the prayer meeting and let us ask God to help us to be cogs in that prayer meeting, to make it a prayer meeting with a difference. And as we do that, we'll see God moving. He'll release the prisoners who are in sin. He will remove the obstacles in our way. And he will record in heaven the progress of the work of God. What an encouragement to us today. Will you face up to it? Will I face up to it? Let us call upon his name.